There are some important perspectives that we need to be aware of, church, and you need to have your eyes open. And that is, right now in Israel, there are missiles that are being lobbed into Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and in other parts of their nation. The Bible tells us, instructs us, we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When you come to the times at the end, you find two wars that the Bible declares will be taking place. And everybody is familiar with the War of Armageddon that shows us we are at the end of days. If you are in the daily Bible reading, you may have been reading from the book of Ezekiel 37 and 38, how the bones come together, and you read about the end time war that will be taking place. But one of the other aspects of war that comes prior to Armageddon is a war that's declared in Psalm 83. And now I'm not having you go there this morning. I'm going to give you information. And after this service is over, I urge you to read these sections of Scripture. But what I want to do most of all, and I do have something to pass out to you, is tell you about the nations that are involved. We read the Bible terms and names of the nations, but what does that have to do with today? And Pat, if you will help me, and Vern, if you'll shut off these front parts of the light so we can see these. You find lists of names, and I want you to have their current understanding of what the nations are that are prophesied according to the Bible that are going to be gathering against Israel. Keep an eye. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but keep an eye open to what God is doing. In Psalm 83, you read about these various nations, and in parentheses, you see their names from the Bible. You see Edom, Moab, and Ammon. That's the nation of Jordan today. Next, you see Gebal and Tyre. It's the nation of Lebanon today. You see the Ishmaelites declared or talked about. The nation is Saudi Arabia. You see the Hagarenes, Amalek Sinai, and that's Egypt. Some of these nations, Egypt was in a peace treaty. What do you hear now? That the Muslim Brotherhood are in charge and the president they have is in charge. What are they calling for? To end the treaty and destroy Israel. They're committed to taking Israel off the face of the map. So you see Egypt that has now begun to align themselves. Syria, you know about the upheaval in Syria, and that's Asher of the Bible. And then the Philistines are commonly called the Palestinians today. You see these nations begin to come against Israel. Watch, keep an eye open, and watch. Prepare yourselves. If you're not right with God, it's a day to be what?
Ready.
A day to be what?
Ready.
All right, in Ezekiel, you find different countries. How are they all lining up? Some of the countries that 40 years ago, Turkey was in the court of an ally, and now all of a sudden you see it swinging back to ancient ties of alliance. So you see in Ezekiel, Russia is Magog, Iran is Persia, Iraq is Persia, and Afghanistan is Persia. It was a huge, huge country. Ethiopia, is in the Bible, is referred to as Cush, as well as Sudan. And Libya is Put, Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco the same, Gomer, Germany, and Beth Togarmah, Turkey, and Armenia. Now what I've done is simply done this so you're familiar with it. And I have made some hard copies of these. And if you just take one, I don't know if I have enough for everybody this morning. Sometimes maybe you only need one per family unit, if you'll take those and pass those out. That gives you something. We've given you this before, but it's simply in a page format. You can fold it in half and put it in your Bible. And keep an eye open, church, to what God is doing. How many know, like Pastor Sherry shared, God is on the move?
Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen. God's on the move. And it's a day to be ready for your own heart and a day to be watchful. Because when you see these things occurring, Matthew 24, you will see these things occurring and these things begin to line up and you know the end is near. We have family and friends that we're going to be talking to and being with over these next few weeks. Perhaps it's a time they might be a little more open, or pray that God will give you opportunity and step into that opportunity. Before we go on to the message, I'm going to give you a praise report now as well. If you could flip on the lights now, that would be great. Sometimes we wonder and we are terrified. What do terrorists want to accomplish? Terror. And so in a spirit of fear, we back off. We're afraid. I'd never want to go there. Don't want to do anything. But let me just give you, as briefly as I can, another report about what God is supernaturally doing. This was written 2 days ago from somebody who is in Beirut and referring to the Syrian refugees streaming across the border to get out of Syria. The Christian Relief Team he's referring to, and this is a true story, this is a news report, heard about the needy Syrian widow living outside a Lebanese Muslim village near the Syrian border. So they took food to her. And it's a report about a Baptist hunger and relief program taking place. So they took food to her. Now listen, apparently Jesus had been there first. A refugee from the civil war in Syria, the Muslim widow, along with her 3 children, had sought shelter in Lebanon like more than 100,000 other Syrians. She was observing a traditional 40-day period of solitude to mourn her dead husband and received nothing from the local Islamic Aid Society. When the Christians knocked at her door, the widow appeared fully covered in black, including an opaque veil over her face. She explained, in her period of self-isolation, they offered to leave the food outside, but she unexpectedly invited them in. They sat with her and her children on the floor of the temporary dwelling. "Who are you?" she asked anxiously. "You don't know us," was the response, "but we have great love in our hearts toward you," the team leader answered, explaining the reasons for helping the Syrian refugees. "That love," he went on to say, "comes from God, who has worked in our lives." To their amazement, she responded by removing her veil, unheard of in her conservative Muslim culture. Then her words came flooding out. "I want to tell you what happened to me yesterday," she said. Her voice was trembling with emotion. "As I was sleeping during the night, someone knocked on my door. I was so scared, but I opened the window to see who it was. No one was there. After a while, I heard the same knocking. My heart was beating so fast, I sat beside the door, and I fell asleep there. As I was sleeping, someone put his hand on my shoulder and said, 'You don't know me. You have passed through a great pain. I experienced a great pain also, but I will not leave you alone. Tomorrow, I will send you someone who will tell you about me. Listen to him.'" When she finished the story, she began to weep. She turned to the team leader and said, "Tell me about this person I saw and heard in my dream." Through his own tears, the leader told her all about Jesus, the Messiah, the friend of widows and orphans and outcasts. "This book I'm going to leave with you will explain to you about God's love," he promised, giving her a Bible along with additional aid to help her and her children survive the mourning period. The widow later returned to Syria. No one knows for sure what happened to her, but guess what? God knows. There's other stories here. Let me tell you one more. Perhaps the boldest new evangelist in Lebanon is an older Syrian woman whose home has become a center for teaching truth. She met this person, after long, exhausting days of aid delivering to other refugees, this leader was ready to go home, but his guide insisted on one more stop, just one more stop to a group of needy families. Reluctantly, he said, okay. They distributed food portions and New Testaments along with a simple gospel presentation. This one Syrian Muslim woman in the home started asking questions about baptism. As it turned out, she was already reading the New Testament. And she had a lot of questions about Jesus. How do you address him? How does he differ from the other prophets? Well, we read Matthew. The first chapter is about Jesus' incarnation. And we see that he is Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And she replied, "I don't understand." He explained the concept of a king coming to visit his people disguised in plain clothes and with humility, but remaining all the while a king. He told her about Jesus' sinless life compared to the other prophets, all of whom had failed God in many ways despite their greatness. And he said to her, "Who do you want to follow, Jesus or the prophets?" She looked at him and she said, "I want to follow Jesus." During another visit, she suddenly declared, "The message that you shared with me before has completely changed my life. I'm a new person." And she says, once we visited her, she was reading the Old Testament. Now she's, in another week, reading the New Testament. And she said, and this is weeks, you guys, she said, "This is my third time reading the entire Bible." After that, we continued visiting her, encouraging her, discipling her. And she said, "Everything you tell me, I go and I share it with others. I tell the traditional Christians that worshiping saints is not good. You have to worship God. And I'm sharing with the Syrian Muslims about how God changed my life." Recently, this woman returned to Syria for a visit despite the dangers to visit her family. And when they called her there, she was okay. And here were her words. "I already have a group of women gathered in my house from Muslim and Christian backgrounds, and I'm teaching them." And she said, "It's hard, but God is helping me." Now, somebody give God some praise. You guys, He can do it. He can do it. We walk around discouraged and no, you know, like we talked last week, gloom and doom. There is no reason for gloom and doom. God is still on the throne and Jesus is alive and well. Someone say amen. He is alive. Turn to each other and say, "Jesus is alive." He is alive. He's still showing up to these people in dreams and night seasons. And God knows. We wonder, how are we going to reach them? God knows exactly what to do. Isn't that good news?
Yes, it is.
So we keep an eye open, and we don't walk in fear, but we keep trusting Jesus.